revolution.
The future of radio.
You're weak. Unsure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem with TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show's Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program Caregiver Dave. Dave, how are you? This month of finishing up October, you didn't just interview celebrities. You were a reporter for me. So that's pretty cool, and that's exciting news. And it first started out with Tom Petty's birthday. Well, so today we're going to talk about Tom Petty's birthday. So tell us about specifically, we did interview the author, had a great time with him, and then you had even a better time when you went to the birthday party, didn't you?
I did. There were about 300 die-hard Tom Petty fans at the Petty Cash Taquerito Bar in West Hollywood over there on October 20th. And I got to be honest with you. I'll make a confession here. I like Tom Petty's songs, a few of them, but I never was really a big fan. But this place was jam-packed with diehard fans. I even interviewed like three of them. There was one, her name was Marie. I asked her how long she's been a fan. Since the 80s, she said. She went shopping at Licorice Pizza when she was a kid. She heard some music in the background, asked them what they were playing. It was Woman in Love. She goes, I got to have this music. And he whipped out a cassette tape, and show you how long ago that was, and purchased it. Been a diehard fan ever since. He's been married 35 years. Every time a Tom Petty song comes on, it just takes them back, you know? Tom Petty's music was the soundtrack of their lives, they said. Spoke to Rockin' Robin Peters. She's a promoter, helped out John Scott. And she just did the L-Ray with Stephen Stills' son, Chris, and Jake Styler was there. And Ron and Steve from the Heartbreakers, the real Tom Petty band. It was great. Also spoke with a fan, Tiffany, since 1981. She went to 25 shows, and she's just her favorite song was Ways to Be Wicked. But I started talking to the musicians as well, like Dan Green. He has a Petty tribute band, Petty and the Heartshakers. He actually looks like Tom Petty, too. And he saw the documentary, you know, Run Down a Dream, and just became a Tom Petty fan. But they've been playing in that band for about 5 years. So it was going while Tom Petty was still alive. I asked him if Tom Petty knew about them. He says, yeah, we wish, you know. So met another guy, Eric Sabo, another Tom Petty lookalike. His tribute band was Petty or Not. And he started 6 years ago. Both these guys, I swear, are the spitting image of Tom Petty. And he also never met Tom Petty, and the band was going while Tom Petty was alive. I asked him if Tom Petty knew about it. He says, I hope he did, but I just don't know. You know, I just kind of wish he did. But his favorite song when caused him to become a fan was American Girl, Breakdown, Damn the Torpedoes. And he actually worked at MCA Records, and he overheard a phone call. They yelled out at the attorneys, Tom Petty's on the line, and the attorneys yelled back, just give him whatever he wants, because he's such a fighter. He usually gets what he wants anyway, so they figure it's not worth fighting him. There was a 15-year-old kid there, Neil, Jake Fissell.
Wow.
The best guitarist, I say that, one of the best guitarists. Okay, he wasn't a Jimi Hendrix or anything, but he was right up there, man. He was playing and holding his own, and he does gigs. He's 15 years old. He first saw Tom Petty when he was 3 years old on the TV at a Super Bowl, and he loved it, and he's been a fan ever since. At 10, he picked up a guitar, learned it on YouTube. I've got all these interviews, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's where you'll air them. Yeah, that's why I wanted to get this kind of report, and then we're going to play the interviews there.
Yeah, so he learned how to
play
the guitar on YouTube, and the dude is amazing. I mean, he's got a gift. Now he makes good money playing gigs, you know. He's only 15, so he does, like, bar mitzvahs and weddings. And his mom and dad were there, proud parents. They flew in all the way from Jersey just to be there for Tom Petty's birthday. Dad was on the mixing board. Mom was taking photographs all over the place. John Scott, we interviewed him. He's the guy who put it all together. And he's just a real close person to Tom Petty. In fact, if it wasn't for John Scott, Tom Petty, we don't know what would have happened to his career.
Yeah, exactly.
John was like a DJ. First he was a promoter, then he was a DJ, or I think it was the other way around. And he got fired because he was playing too many Tom Petty songs in the beginning, because nobody knew who Tom Petty was. You know, their first album, they kind of looked like a punk band, and nobody wanted to play punk in those days. But he got fired. He got another job, and he almost got fired because he was doing the same thing. And he says, listen, trust me, this song is going to go. And the rest, as they say, is history. So he put this thing together. And everybody that I spoke to, I mean, they all know where they were the day that Tom Petty died. It was like, where were you when JFK died?
Oh, wow.
Or Michael Jackson or John Lennon. You know, everybody seems to remember. And they all had great stories. And I was just blown away. So there were some other guys there. John Scott, that's John Scott. Chris Kelly had a tribute band also. He's the newest one. And he's also a bike builder. And then Michael Ward. He plays with Chris Kelly and also a biker, and they were in the band too. Everyone just donated their time. Nobody got paid. They donated the equipment, and it was a blast. It was like Woodstock, you know.
That's got to be wild. And I think that to feel the atmosphere of an event like that, it's no unlike no other. It's for you to.
I've never been anywhere like that around diehard fans. It was inspirational.
It definitely seems like it was inspirational. It was a great experience. That you now could say, okay, anytime Tom Petty's birthday comes up, you're part of it. But I bet you, Dave, you'll be part of it.
Oh, believe me, they're going to do it. They're going to do it again next year. And, you know, I had the great experience of interviewing all those people that I just mentioned. And as soon as you edit them and get them together,
this is all going to be part of the show. So, again, I always throw Dave out there like, okay, I'm ready, Neil. And you never know where Neil's going to take you next. We're going to be talking about that in the next segment that we go over. But last thing. So you said that two of the Heartbreakers, the real Heartbreakers, were there. Dave,
not there, but they were at this show just 2 days prior that one of the promoters put on there, and all of these guys were there as well. But they had two actual band members of his actual band, but they were not there that night.
Oh, that's that again, Dave. You know,
I don't think the venue was big enough. I think they would have packed the place out if they did. You know, but they had the Heart Shakers there.
Hey, but but Dave, you got to cover the whole birthday weekend next year, and we'll have to get John Scott back on the show to find out that information. And then again,
I'm ready.
We're back to the Neil Haley Show's Caregiver Dave celebrity segment, and I'm excited to welcome Caregiver Dave. Dave, how are you? In 10 years, I never thought that I would be able to cover two red carpets in L.A. I did one on my own, but I don't know if you consider Anaheim L.A., but I have you now as my correspondent. You covered Tom Petty a couple days before, and we were honored to be invited with an unbelievable cast of different media members to an event. So, Dave, you're here to tell me about it. And I didn't even get to – I just looked at the pictures, and I'm saying, Dave, why do I live in Pittsburgh? There'll never be an event like this in Pittsburgh. I'm hoping to cover
– Probably not.
I'm hoping my wife's going to let me cover SopranoCon, where it's going to be all the top people in New Jersey on the 24th. We're going to be interviewing some major people there. But that's still not going to top what you did, Dave. So tell us about the experience.
Well, first of all, you know, they're doing a documentary on my life. And as soon as he heard that I was doing this, he says, I want to come, Frank, my film producer. And so he said, okay. So we hopped in my little tiny Mazda Miata MX-5, and we drove down there, and he filmed me, you know, kind of interviewed me while we're driving down there. And all of a sudden, I see this black smoke coming off the horizon. is, oh my God, the mountains are on fire again. And then I start getting phone calls. Hey, where are you? Are you at the gas station? Are you home? The fire's like 1 mile from your gas station, 2 miles from your house. And Frank's like freaking out because, you know, he's from back east. And, you know, he doesn't experience fire. I lived here since 1960. We have fires all the time. We had, you know, we don't evacuate in a fire unless they're banging on the door with a bullhorn saying, get out, get out. So I called my wife and, you know, I told her, just get ready to leave. There's no way I was turning around. Not that I devalue my wife's life, but there's nothing I could do, you know. Her daughter lives down the block. I called her. I says, you know, be with your mother in case something happens. And so all of a sudden, you know, the wind shifted in a different direction and houses were burning down. I mean, you know, it was black smoke whenever that happened.
Wow.
You know, that's going on. And so Frank says, how could you be so calm? I says, man, I've been doing this for, well, 45, 50 years. It's no big deal. It happens all the time. Earthquakes and fires. So we get to the event and the guy stops us. He says, what are you here for? I says, you know, I told him we're here for the Lawrence J. Ellison event. He says, oh, no, that venue's been changed. I says, what do you mean it's been changed? He says, we moved the location. And so he told me where it was. And so it was like 4 blocks away.
Oh, my gosh.
So I drove to this other place. I had to go to Santa Monica. And it was a beautiful, beautiful venue. And so we get out. And nobody knows anything. You know, I showed him my official invitation. And, you know, they said, well, I don't know. You got to go through security, and nobody could find security. And then nobody could, you know, and nobody wants to get in trouble. And finally, they just said, I said, hey, you know, we're here for the red carpet starting in a few minutes, 6 o'clock. And so finally, someone brave says, okay, just take him in there and see if you can find security. So they let us in. We got to the red carpet. And then this other person started saying, well, you know, we had too many photographers here. We don't know if you can go. And we pushed back because there's no way we were leaving. You know,
right.
I told him I left my home and my wife in flames over there. You know, we're here. I says, this is the event. And we were 2 hours in traffic. And then Frank started pushing back and finally says, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll let you guys stay here. You can take photographs and, you know, B-reel stuff and this and that. But we were actually disappointed at the red carpet because last year, you know, I was reading all the guests that came across the red carpet, Tony Bennett, Jane Fonda, Christina Aguilera, and, you know, James Cameron and so on. It was a star-studded event. There were not many stars there. I mean, there were a lot of stars, but not the famous ones.
Ashton Kutcher is a huge star, Dave.
Well, yeah.
When you're talking about...
There were three huge stars that I got pictures with.
That's what happens with red carpets. I remember I thought I was going, I flew out to Anaheim, California for Ben Affleck and never got to see but Ben's back of his neck. And then I thought, and then the people that were there, I could interview bigger ones on my radio show. But no, when I saw your pictures again with the people you had pictures with, I mean, the creator of Salesforce is gigantic, man. And then the other ones didn't walk the red carpet. I think that's what you were disappointed about, right?
Yeah, James Corden, he just spoke from the stage. He didn't mingle with the dinner, you know, this huge, wonderful dinner. He didn't come out on the red carpet. So there were other famous people there, but they just didn't mingle. But I was able to get pictures with Ashton Kutcher, with Barry Manilow, who kind of looks like Rod Stewart, by the way, but don't tell him that. You know, David Foster was up on the stage. He didn't mingle too much. Sarah Foster, Pika Toscano, amazing voice. She sang an amazing song. And then there was Linda Ramone, Mitchell Hogg, Jay Rodriguez, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They did an amazing set over there.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus Mission USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
And David Blaine and more. I also got a picture with a billionaire. What was his name?
You're talking about Salesforce guy.
Yeah, Salesforce guy.
Yeah.
He used to work for Oracle.
Yeah.
And then the founder of Oracle was there, another billionaire. I had no idea I was rubbing shoulders with millionaires and billionaires. So they got great hits on social media, and it was worth it. It was a great, great time. And it's all going to be on my documentary. So that's the coolest part.
No, absolutely. I mean, and you think about it, it was a great experience, but you're hoping
it was held at
things.
the Water Garden in Santa Monica.
Again, so the reason probably, Dave, is that somehow whoever organized the entire thing did not get the people to walk, and that's not fair, especially for the media that comes out, and there are big-time media there. It did not see and get to go and interview on the red carpet or take pictures with many people. And so that's probably your...
Well, you know what the biggest thing was, Neil? I hate to interrupt you, but they had 12 spots for 12 different media organizations on the red carpet, little signs on the floor. Guess how many showed up?
Three.
Two.
So that's why they didn't walk.
We were number three.
See,
two showed up.
So that's, again, the and that is frustrates me. That I had,
and we were there, and they wouldn't let, you know, they didn't want to let us in.
See, this is ridiculous, and that's again the issue with these red carpets of organizations making decisions. But what it was good charity. You got to have a great meal.
Yeah.
You got to meet some famous people. I mean, getting a picture with Rod Stewart, Ashton Kutcher, just because you don't know
not
these
Rod Stewart, Barry Manilow. Don't call him Rod Stewart. He'll get very upset.
I had to make
up. I thought he was Rod Stewart, and I was going to say, hey, Rod. And his friend
said, that's not Rod Stewart.
That's Barry Manilow. Don't tell him that. I just saved you embarrassment.
I knew it was Barry Manilow when you showed me the picture. But look, I messed up.
You're always kidding.
Exactly. But, I mean, it's funny because remember.
I fall for it every time, Neil.
You got to fall for it. But that's the great experience that you had. But, again, my hope is to get you.
Thank you so much for the experience.
No. I hope the Oscars next, man. I'm hoping the Oscars and all the different award ceremonies. And then I'll be sitting
here.
Well,
I'm ready.
Hey, I'm ready.
I got my microphone. I got my media thing that goes on the microphone. And very impressive.
But I bet you if you did your digging when they give you that entire list, I bet you most of them didn't walk. And that goes back to the publicist. And here's the thing.
It was a location change, too. There was just too much confusion. You know, 2 days before, they totally changed the venue. And a lot of people were showing up at the old one, and they had people there saying, no, you got to go over here. Maybe they do that on purpose for the looky-loos. I don't know. But it was very unorganized in that respect. But a lot of people didn't know what they were doing. But, you know, they pulled it off, and it was a great event.
See, if you watch the show Entourage on HBO, that now I'm binge-watching finally on Amazon – you'll see how Hollywood works, and it's kind of funny. And so you're going to get more and more involved in this, Dave, and I'm waiting for you now to get in the, you know, different films you're going to be in and stuff. And before you know it, Dave will have a project, and he'll have an agent and everything. I'm waiting for all this stuff, meaning a Hollywood agent, to sell his movie. So he's getting the next step in this process of working with our media network, and that's exciting. And next up, who knows? And like I said before, if we could get certain sponsors on board, I could go to the Super Bowl, I could go to the Oscars. Some of these people sell press passes, which is crazy. But that's how this industry works, and it's all about who you know, when you know it. So again, caregiverdave.com for more information. But Dave, what connections? Like, if you threw me out there, Neil would end up eating dinner with these guys, right? Or he'd end up saying he's going out to the after party with them and stuff. That's how I roll. I go to these.
Yeah, I mean, we had an amazing dinner. The very important people at our table, millionaires, some billionaires.
Did you get their cards? Did you get their cards?
No, but I gave them my book and I gave them my magazine because they asked for it. And then someone said, I want a book too. I said, well, who are you? You know, and I gave away five books, five magazines from people who really wanted them. Because I'm a caregiver, and that's the USC medical thing. You know, we're very related, you know?
Yeah,
I saw myself up on the stage talking about caregiving. You know, that's how
Hey, Dave, it
fit in.
Hey, Dave, if you would have said, hey, what I would have done is, hey, get their business card. And I'm sure that Clint would say the same thing. You didn't get a business card, and you should have said, I have. And see, this is the way you got to throw it. I'm on a nationally syndicated radio show. You Google us, we come up everywhere. You have your own talk show. Never, ever, ever. And this is, again, Dave did a phenomenal job to get there. But ultimately, when you're there, you take every opportunity possible to get anything you want, and it will happen, and it's exciting.
Yeah,
and you.
Well, they would treat me like a peer, you know, with respect, like I belong there, like, you know, like I was maybe a millionaire as well, maybe a billionaire.
Oh, come on now,
tuxedo,
but Dave, we don't know your net worth. We don't know. Oh, so that was so get a fun experience.
It was a great experience.
I wish I was there. And again, like I said, I'm hoping to cover SopranoCon, but I know every opportunity down the line. We're working with the charity
now. We got the Oscars here, we got the Emmys, we got the Grammys.
Oh my gosh,
some work. Get me in.
It will happen. It's not if, it's when it will happen, and it's going to happen soon. And again, caregiverdave.com. Right now, people could go to caregiverdave.com and they could go ahead and sign up for your services. And also, they can buy your book. They could listen to tons of free resources at caregiverdave.com. Dave. Yeah,
coaching as well.
Fabulous. And like I said before, those millionaires and billionaires, the next time you sit next to or have a picture with the guy from Salesforce, say, hey, I got an idea. And remember, that's what you do. And then there you go. But see, you got to watch Entourage. I recommend you go to Amazon right now and watch Entourage. And guess what? I'm learning so many different things from how, again, Mark Wahlberg created this show before the Wahlbergers, just to say, this is how we would roll in Hollywood. And that's how you roll in Hollywood. All right. Well, I appreciate
it. We were exchanging caregiver stories. Every one of those people had some loved one that was in a caregiving situation. So, you know, it was awesome, but I should have asked them for their cards. I don't know if they would have had them, but I would have stepped
their
phone
number on my
phone. Oh, my
gosh, or the publicist or something said, come on, Neil's show, come on our show. We want to hear about what the amazing experience you're doing to help cancer research. Tremendous stuff, Dave, but guess what?
All the opportunities I missed. It was my first time.
Exactly. Again, but see, you're not 6'10" and become the life of the party everywhere you go. But that's hey, I can't help that. And then they hear about professional wrestling and they want to talk to me for hours about that. And now they'll want to talk to me about certain things. And before you know it, you become family. But remember, Dave, you're phenomenal. Next event, we don't know the next event. Again, this is your third event. Because
I got to see you in action,
You got to see me in action. It will happen. It's not when. It's when it will be or whatever. But I appreciate you calling, and we will talk soon.
All right. Goodbye.
All right. That was the Caregiver Dave Celebrity segment, everyone. We're back here at the Lyrically Lime Show, and I'm with Peyton Leonard. Peyton, how are you? And I can't believe we're going on the finishing up the year. In December, we launched the show, and it's been some amazing journey of getting to meet many interesting celebrities, authors, and other people that truly have gone through adversity and have passion, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's been really cool.
And then the experiences, you're like, I can't believe I had that experience. Wow, that was cool. And you never thought, well, I never thought I'd had this experience. And that's what's so fun about working in this environment is you never know who you're going to meet and tell that story about Lime. But tell us about what's going on with your album.
Yeah. So, again, it's called A Journey with God. And it's streaming on Spotify. It's on iTunes, Apple Music, Tidal, Deezer, Napster, all these different platforms. And so far, from what I can tell, it's doing well. I have nearly 150 streams on Spotify, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
Knowing that it only came out in September 30th, so that's pretty cool. And I've had a couple of purchases on Amazon, and I've had people listen to it on Apple Music. So it's definitely ramping up. So it's pretty exciting. I'm grateful.
All right, so that's huge news. Again, the podcast keeps syndicating, the radio show keeps syndicating. Peyton, again, our last guest was amazing again, and we've had amazing guests, and it's just like the journey into November and December. We're going to finish up strong in 2019 going into 2020. But what other projects are going on with you for 2020? What do you have in store?
Projects. That's a good question.
Your book, right? You're looking at writing a book, right? Or you're pitching a book right now to different people, right?
I am, yes. My sci-fi novel. I'm pitching that still to different people. So I'm hoping to publish that next year. And then hopefully I can record something else. I think that would be great to be able to do something on a larger scale, maybe do like a full album instead of just an EP. I think that would be really fun.
See, that's the exciting part of this journey. And now looking back at your podcast when it launched, podcast/radio show, what memories do you have, Peyton, going into, again, we're going to finish up strong in November and December from the interviews you've had? What was the most interesting interview you had out of all of them?
Oh, wow. That's tough. I believe the one that stood out to me the most, I think, might have been Courtney Hope.
Okay. Why? What resonated with you with her?
She was the actress for The Bold and the Beautiful, correct?
Yes.
And she also did some video game acting as well. And so that really stood out to me. That's something I'd like to pursue someday along the way. I'd like to be able to do some voice acting myself. So I don't know. I just thought her life was very inspiring. It was cool to see how, you know, everything was fitting together in her life. I thought that was really cool.
Awesome.
I also enjoyed Lee Greenwood, too.
Yeah,
I thought that was a really cool interview.
Yeah, he's amazing. And we'll have to kind of grab all yours and put them all together. We do have it kind of available. Big launch is coming with Lyrically Lime, syndication, development. It's been a segment, but also the radio show. Look out in 2020 for the radio show and its own time slot on VIPInternetRadio.com and then also on LifeImprovementRadio.com and soon some other places as well. So some exciting times for your show. I appreciate you calling, Peyton, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Neil.
All right. You listen to Neil Haley's show's Lyrically Lime show. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. Pinterest, Neil Haley. And Google Plus, Neil Haley. And, you know, when I remember a really dominating offensive lineman, and as a huge Steeler fan, I remember this guy. We connected via social media, and I said, hey, I want to definitely have him on the program. So excited to welcome the program. Pro Bowl, national champion with the Miami Hurricanes, and I consider a super Steeler, Leon Searcy. Leon, thanks for calling, and how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, absolutely, Leon. And I tell you, it's just looking back and you look at your career and what you were able to accomplish in an offensive lineman, getting to play the 11 years in the pros, that's got to really be a great thing for you to think about, right? To know that you were able to stay that long in the NFL and play at such a high level, I think, for sure.
Well, you know, I enjoyed my time in the NFL. I played with some great players. I had some files.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Experiences. I had opportunity to play in the Super Bowl. I just enjoyed playing with great men. I was blessed to be around great men throughout my career with the Steelers. I mean, guys like Damani Dawson and Rod Woodson and Greg Lloyd and Carnell Lake. I mean, these are just great men that I looked up to that had a lot to do with profound in my career as a Steeler. You know, basically, it taught me how to be a man. You know, a lot of players come in from college and they come into the league, and just because they're making a whole bunch of money, you know, they think that they're grown and that they have the ability to be men. But I was blessed with guys around me, like those guys that I just mentioned. Those guys were the ultimate professionals. And it had a lot to do with the kind of success that it had as a Steeler.
And always for definitely our flagship station in Pittsburgh, we want to really kind of delve into the Steeler organization. All the former Steelers that I have on the program, just especially talk about how the camaraderie of the Steelers organization from the Rooneys on down. Isn't that true for sure? It sounds like that's the same thing what you learned from as well when you were
in Pittsburgh. Yeah, it is. Well, it is. I have the utmost respect for the Rooney family. You know, they made the Steel brand the recognizable brand that it is today. And the one thing I did enjoy about being a Steeler is that the guys on the team were family. I mean, the one thing that you can recognize about a team is that, and the team that's going to have success is that, you know, once practice is over, a lot of the guys spent time with one another, whether it was going out to dinner, going out to lunch, hanging with each other, maybe going to have a beer. So it was a profound family, and I think that had a lot to do with the amount of success that we had on the field and the fact that we had a coach. We had a personable coach who was who was a player's coach.
Yes.
And you would do everything you wanted. You would do everything that you needed to do throughout the week so that on Sunday you could shine. And Coach Cowell made sure of that. And he was just a great guy to play for.
Thinking about, you know, playing for the Hurricanes and then the Steelers, two traditions at that time that were unstoppable, you know, programs. It must have been awesome. He just kept winning, right? Pretty much from going from.
Well, the one thing about playing for the Miami Hurricanes, going to a school like that in the time and era that I played in, you know, my 5 years there, I won 3 national titles, only lost 4 games in 5 years. It taught me how to be a champion. It taught me that the necessary sacrifices that I needed to make on and off the field to make sure I had success on Saturdays. And one thing a lot of people don't understand about the Miami Hurricanes, a lot of times they saw us on TV, you know, dancing and clowning around or whatever. But the fact is that from Monday to Friday, we put the time in on the football field. Some of the hardest games I played at the University of Miami were at practice. I mean, practice was intense. We were going at each other like there was a game every Saturday. And the competition level was so high at the University of Miami that if you were able to get on the field and start, you earned it. No, nothing was given to you. So I knew that playing for a team like that, having the success that I had at the University of Miami, going to the next level, I was prepared to win. And I had that winning mentality. And I like to think that a lot of me getting drafted by Cowher in the first round and being his first pick overall in his career as a head coach had a lot to do with the fact that I had come from a program where I was a champion. And he wanted me to bring that. He wanted me to bring that mentality, that championship aura, you know, a good part to the Steelers. So I was very blessed to be chosen by him and playing for the Steelers for those years that I played for.
Yeah, so thinking about Coach Cowher, what did he teach you with the Steelers? Meaning not, I guess, about the game of football, but more of the game of life. I guess I'm sure that you learned lessons, especially, you know, coming straight from college to the pros and you're a young man at that point in time, you know, just learning life. And now you're given all this money and your specific things and you're with a winning football team. But the NFL is so much different than college. What did Coach Cowher do? Because it seemed like Coach Cowher was a very good mentor. You guys wanted to play for Coach Cowher because he motivated you to want to win. It's like you had a guy that literally cared for the players, it sounds like, from what you're saying about Coach Cowher.
Well, he did. I mean, everything about Coach Cowher, I had already exuded coming from the University of Miami. You know, he wanted guys that were tough to put the work in throughout the week and play hard on Sundays. I mean, you know, just in general, as life goes, most of my mentors were guys on the team. You know, only time I really didn't have any in-depth conversations with Coach Cowher.
Oh, really?
Outside of game planning or the stuff we needed to do on Sunday. So if anything pertained to life in general, it really came from the mentorships and the relationships that I had with guys on the team.
The players from that team. And again, you guys in the 90s set up for how great the 2000s were. I've talked to different people about that, and that's the real truth, isn't it? Yep. You guys were the people who led to the success of 2000s, building back the Steeler tradition, the 90s teams that you were on with the Steelers, I believe, for sure.
Well, you know, that tradition of being a Steeler, you know, went way before we did. I mean, that whole mentality in the 70s with all the success that they had, we were just trying to bring that back. You know,
you guys brought it back. That's what's the great thing.
Well, we like to think we did bring it back. We brought back that Steeler aura. There was a period of time, maybe in the 80s, where the Steelers, you know, didn't have as much success as they did in the 90s. But, you know, it still stems back to the fact that those great teams in the 70s, we just wanted to bring that mentality back, that hard-nosed defense, that you're running the football, playing for 60 minutes. I mean, we just wanted to bring that aura back to the Steel Town because we figured that the fans deserved it.
Yeah, and definitely. And the fans were unlike any other fans, weren't they, Leon? How crazy people were about their Steelers in Pittsburgh, for sure.
Well, you know, some of my greatest experiences as a football player were just driving to the stadium on Sundays. I used to call it still a roll, because there you would drive and be about a mile out of the stadium, and there would be people tailgating and waving terrible towels and saying, "Here we go, Steelers." And if they recognized you in your car, they'd run to your car and sing, "Here we go, Steelers," and wave their terrible towels. And you could smell the Brock's cooking and the meat on the grill. And I mean, I love playing for that type of environment, because it reminds me a lot of college when I played at University of Miami. It reminds me of that same mentality where the fans in Miami love their Hurricanes. And it was the same, I could say the same thing about the Steelers fans. I mean, they love their Pittsburgh Steelers.
What was your greatest moment playing for the Steelers? What would you say? Like the greatest memory of playing for the Steelers?
I mean, my greatest moment of playing for the Steelers is probably in the championship game where we had the opportunity to play the Colts. And I can't remember who batted that ball down, but to this day, that football was staying in the air for at least 20 seconds. I mean, I didn't count it, but when they did, I can remember who batted the ball down and it was incomplete. But just that, just feeling that stadium rock and roll when we had an opportunity to go play in the Super Bowl, that has to be my greatest experience as a Pittsburgh Steeler. You know, getting back to the Super Bowl in that year, in 1995, getting an opportunity to play the Super Bowl.
I remember that game very well as well, watching it in Arkansas when I was a professional wrestler, Leon. So I was in someone's house and we were watching the game, coming back. I'm like, oh, my gosh, the Colts came back. What? Because we all remember how disappointing Buffalo was the year before. And then to see this happen and say, yes, finally. Finally, we're back to the Super Bowl, and it was definitely one of my favorite teams of all time, Steeler teams. Even though you never won the Super Bowl, you guys played one of the greatest teams of all time in the Super Bowl, Dallas Cowboys, and you really held your own for most of that game. It's very close, for sure.
Well, I don't know how great they were, especially in that Super Bowl. Hell, if we hadn't had two turnovers, that would have been a cakewalk. Our defense, if you look at it statistically, our defense held the mighty Dallas Cowboys offense to like 125 yards of total offense. Emmitt Smith barely had 40 yards rushing.
That's true. Yeah.
And offensively, we had amassed somewhere to 380 to 390 yards of total offense against that so-called great defense. So, you know, if we had played mistake-free football, that game wouldn't have been as close as it was. And we just literally gave them a Super Bowl by throwing two interceptions inside the red zone. So we put our defense backs against the wall, because literally throughout the whole game, our defense was annihilating that so-called Dallas Cowboys powerhouse offense. So,
okay.
I mean, that's still a stickler. I mean, I see guys today that play at the University of Miami were actually on that team, and I see their rings, and it still stomachs me to know that we had lost that game.
And you're right. Some of your teammates on the Dallas Cowboys, for sure, that you played on that Miami team. You said, "This, we're going to beat you." But I think when I say great teams, if you look historically on paper, the Cowboys were favored by, I think, 10 points against you guys. They thought it was going to be another one of those blowout Super Bowls like we saw the NFC beat the AFC. And you're right. I don't want to talk about the turnovers, Leon, because that still eats at me as well, because I really believed it. One of my friends that played and wrestled in the WWE, the Headbangers, were huge Dallas Cowboy fans. I'm in the locker room with them and said, "There's no chance that your boys are going to win the Steelers." I said, "Yes, they are. They're going to win." And I was in, I think it was in Indiana. I was talking to them, and so one of them was a huge Cowboy fan, and I'm like, "Oh, just front runners." But we were close, very close. And I guess it eats at you guys anytime you lose the Super Bowl. As amazing as the Super Bowl is, it never leaves you, right? Every time you start talking about it again, you start thinking about, oh, if this play would have gone this way, we would be Super Bowl champs.
Well, I usually have like a 364-day day off when it comes to the Super Bowl. But, you know, every time the Super Bowl comes around, you know, they always have an opportunity to flashback. You know how they flashback all the Super Bowls and they show with highlights of them. So, for some reason, while I'm flicking through the channel, I always catch the Steeler Cowboy Super Bowl 30 for some reason. And it's still hard to watch because, you know, that's just one game that we let get away. And like I said, if it wasn't for those turnovers, I think I would have a shiny ring on my finger right now. Because I don't even wear my AFC championship ring. I won't wear it. I refuse to wear it. I gave it to my father.
Okay. Well, I guess that's what it is for sure. Winning is everything in certain ways. And then at least you had all those national championships with Miami. So, Leon, you ended up playing more years in the NFL after leaving the Steelers. But again, I'm going to keep my focus and attention on what I'm interested in. But really, I'm interested in your story afterwards. The reason is just because I've been reading up on it and specific things and talking about life after football. And we really have to bring up these things. And I'm about educating people and whatever types of things. But if I get my opportunity to talk Steeler football and talk about one of my, I don't consider it a childhood, but Leon, how old were we when you were in the Super Bowl? Because we're the same age. We're both 42, if I'm correct. And so we were about the same.
I'm 40.
How old are you now?
I'm 45.
45. Okay. And Wikipedia is wrong. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Wikipedia is wrong. So you're 3 years older than me when you were in the Super Bowl. So we were both pretty young at that time, seeing that disappointment for sure. Now, after your career, you play for the Jaguars and you play a couple more years in the NFL. Your career ends. Mm-hmm. And did you have a plan, Leon, after you retired? Did you have that plan? Because that's the key point is life after football. I've talked to so many different people. Did you have that plan?
Well, listen, there's a statistic out there where, you know, former players.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach. A fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and Cyber Station USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive Cyber Station USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Cyber Station USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Years after they have played in the NFL, 78% of them either are in financial turmoil or go bankrupt. I can't say all guys have plans. I mean, me essentially, I didn't have a plan. I mean, I felt that I was indestructible while I played, and I thought the same thing once my career was over in football. And when you amass debt, you make poor decisions in life, things happen. There things happen that are unfortunate, and you learn from them. And I'm 10 years removed from that. I'm doing much better now.
That's good.
And that's the reason why I mentor the kids. I talk to kids. I mentor the high school and college kids online, on the field. Just talk about them. Not only do I train them and coach them, but I mentor them. I mentor them about making the right decisions, making the right choices in life. About making business decisions, about some of the lures and traps that people that stage for these athletes when they come into the league, men and women, financial advisors, agents, people that want you to invest, people, your family members that all of a sudden can't work because now you're making all this, amassing all this money. I tell these guys that, look, you know, put yourself on the salary. You've got to prepare for life. You've got to prepare like football is that your next game will be your last game.
Right.
And I just tell the guys that. And I used this opportunity. I used my experiences as an opportunity to enlighten kids, to prepare kids. And would I change one thing about it? No, because I know now that through all the hardship and the turmoil that I've come out of, now I'm going to use that as an opportunity and a tool to enlighten kids and prepare kids so that they don't have to go down the road that I had to travel.
And that's the reason. A lot of times things happen to us so we can finally make a difference through those tough times and trials and be able to mentor and talk to kids and talk to people about those mistakes. And when probably, Leon, when you look back at it, you think that there's enough money out there forever. And then everybody comes out with a handout, everyone this, and money disappears quickly. And especially with such a short career.
Well, it doesn't disappear. You know what you do with it.
Right. It disappears. But meaning,
you know what you do with it. The NFL lifestyle is very addictive. Okay. It's very addictive. You know, everything's VIP. Everybody, you know, you've got a lot of yes men and women around you. You've got women throwing themselves at you. You've got investors who try to sell you ice in the North Pole. You've got agents who love you to death, but once your career is over, you know, don't accept your phone calls. You've got family members who, you know, your life that worked all their life, all of a sudden they can't pay a bill here, can't pay a bill there. You're going to nightclubs, you're going to strip clubs, you're buying everyone dinner, you're taking everybody on vacations. The bill's on you. And the quintessential word I tell kids to say when they don't feel comfortable with doing something, I tell them, you've got to learn to say no. You've got to learn to say no. You got to learn to say no to investors. You got to learn to say no to financial guys. You got to learn to say no to women. You got to learn to say no to family, even your own mom. It's going to come at a point in time where you've got to say enough is enough. And if you're married and you have children, you've got to look at their future and their well-being. And I just tell guys to, once you get all the spending, you need to put yourself on a salary. Put yourself on an allowance every month and say, if this runs out, then that's it. And I tell guys that because a lot of kids in high school, and I've coached high school, I've coached at the college level, all these kids have these dreams and aspirations of playing in the NFL, and I ask it each and every day, are you prepared for what the tidal wave that's coming at you? And, of course, they say, oh, yeah, I can handle it, this and that, but they have no idea. There's got to be a preparation when you go to the next level because you're going to have vultures coming at you all directions. You've got to be prepared for it.
And when you talked about, and that's very interesting, you talked about the NFL lifestyle. I think lifestyle in general, when you have money, you gotta spend the money. And that's what society shows you. Okay, well, if you have this money, then live the lifestyle that you're living while you're making that salary, and everyone lives above that salary in certain ways. So they
here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that in order to be great and play on at the NFL level, there's got to be a sense of arrogance and egotistic. There's a sense of arrogance, and a lot of guys are egotistical when they play for just to get out on that field and perform at a certain level each and every Sunday. So a lot of that arrogance and a lot of that ego carries over off the field because when you're on the field, you want the spotlight, you want to do well, you want to have success, you want the fans to cheer, you want to make big plays. And sometimes that carries off the field. You want the attention, you want the women attention, you want the people looking at it. Well, you want people to see you driving nice, looking good, shining, blinging, popping bottles, doing this, this, and that. And a lot of guys don't know how to differentiate the two between on the field and off the field. And that's where a lot of the guys have the problems. And listen, when 78%, like the statistic I said earlier, Well, close to 80% of the guys on the team are in financial turmoil or go bankrupt after 2 years from playing in the NFL. That's a problem. That's a serious problem that needs to be addressed. And the NFL doesn't do, they're doing better, but there needs to be more former guys like myself who can mentor a lot of these young men that are going into the NFL. Yes. And a lot of them listen and a lot of them don't, because a lot of them, once they get that check in their hand, they're driving nice and they're flashing and dashing. They don't think it could happen to them.
Right.
I've seen it happen to a lot of guys. Shoot, it happened to me. So,
yeah.
You know, you want these guys to learn from the mistakes of other guys that came before.
You have this ego, and then the expenses. Think about how much you guys spend on the road during a season. And that's where expenses can go up for anyone, business traveling or traveling in general, and specifically always on the move, that you can't just say, okay, as a professional athlete, you're training all the time, you're eating all the time. There's so many different things that you have to have things set up for you. You have to have specific things and things, just, you know, how expensive everything gets for sure, and to live that lifestyle. But at least you're going to go and try to mentor some of them, and some will listen, some won't, but you'll really help some people that really just don't understand and needed somebody.
Well,
you.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you're giving me this platform and opportunity to showcase one of my companies that I have out there is called Real Men Block. I mean, it's a t-shirt line, an apparel line. It has patent pending equipment to help offensive linemen out. The website is up, but one of the things that my company does provide on the website, where up and coming offensive linemen can come and interact with guys who played the game. And not only do the guys provide advice on training, how to block guys and diet and nutrition, but they also offer the guys advice, they're life coaches to a lot of these.
That's great.
To a lot of these players. A lot of these kids that play high school or play at Division I or Division II, you know, they're able to interact with guys who played it at the highest level to give them advice on, you know, agents and financing and what, and, you know, some of the entrapment. So that's one of the packages that I have with my company, where I know a lot of guys who played, who coach, and it gives these kids an opportunity to get, you know, advice on life in general. So a lot of these kids listen, a lot of them don't. Unfortunately, I would like that statistic of 80% to go down, and I hope that it does. But until we get more former guys interacting with younger guys as far as mentoring and these guys listening and making right choices, the statistic is either going to go up or go down, and I would like to see go down. I would just like to see young men make better decisions and better choices when it comes to their lives.
Definitely, and I'm glad, again, you're making a difference. I'm glad, definitely, you got to tell us about the website at the end as well, Leon, because, again, that's so important to have the ability to help these kids, because now this has become a big business. Everyone's told they're going to be the next professional athlete, the next college star, the next everything, and they need someone like yourself, Leon, to tell them, hey, you might not be, and here's how we're going to help you try to get to that level. But, you know, everyone's going to tell you the world that you're going to be the greatest thing ever, and then they forget about their grades, or they forget about specifically looking at other options and things like that, and they pick a school that they never play at, or different things. By your company and able to kind of guide these men and young student athletes to meeting their goals and needs, it's become such a big business. Think about high school sports in general and middle school sports when you're talking football, and how all these different clinics and all these different things, it's just become a huge, big business. And they need that guidance, for sure.
Absolutely. You hit the hammer on the nail. Absolutely. A lot of these kids just need guidance. They just need, you know, a lot of these kids just, you know, one thing I do recognize about sports nowadays is that a lot of these kids feel entitled, and, you know, they've been glamorized, you know, ever since they were in Pop Warner. And you just got to be real with them. You got to tell them the truth. You got to tell them about the peril that lie ahead. And if they listen and you hope they listen, and you hope they make the right choices. So that's my calling. That's what my company is about, Real Men Block. And I just enjoy. I enjoy coaching. I enjoy mentoring. It's been a blessing for me.
Well, we need to stay in touch for sure. We can work together in specific ways. I'm looking to create some webinars for ACT and SAT prep and different things like that, and how important it is leading these kids to get the right scores to get into their schools so they don't become academic ineligible. So I know you see me on Facebook. I see you on Facebook. We'll definitely stay in touch. But where's the best place we can find information on you, Leon, and learn more about you? Where can we go for your business?
Well, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but my name of my company is Real Men Block. The website is it's under construction right now. The website is realmenblock.biz. That's realmenblock.biz, all lowercase. And
we have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio. The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.